Hey, it's Candy. Did you know that I have a quiz to help coaches choose their niche? Yeah, I do. It's super popular and it has been taken more than 20,000 times. This is a fun quiz that takes you about 2 minutes to do, and it will probably give you way more clarity on choosing your best coaching niche. So now, whether you say niche or niche, it's going to work for you. And if you're a coach and you have been stuck in niche indecision, wondering what to do, then you should take my quiz and find out what you learn. You can take the quiz today at coachnichequiz.com. That's coachnichequiz.com. Okay, let's dive into this week's episode. Welcome to She Coaches Coaches. I'm your host, Candy Motzek, and I'm going to help you find the clarity, confidence, and courage to become the coach that you are meant to be. If you're a new coach, or if you've always wanted to be a life coach, then this is the place for you. We're going to talk all about mindset and strategies and how to, because step by step only works when you have the clarity, courage, and confidence to take action. Let's get started. Hey, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of She Coaches Coaches. I have a special guest for you today, and I would love to tell you more about her. Dr. Michelle Greenwell is a movement specialist who brings the knowledge of whole body movement through dance and Tai Chi to her audiences for developing daily self-care plans. She is also a tea artist who uses the spiritual essences of herbs with intentions, as well as color and music, to bring a powerful and fun set of programs for bioenergetic wellness to her audience. Dr. Michelle Greenwell. Wow. I love that. Michelle, welcome. I know you in a slightly different way as part of a mastermind, and I invited you to be on this show because you're always such a welcoming, kind-hearted spirit. And I just knew that the people who listen to this show would love to hear you as well. So welcome. Glad you're here.
Aw, thank you. That's a lovely introduction.
So tell us, you've got a really varied background. Can you tell us just a little bit about how you arrived at this point?
Ooh, in the short
snippet.
I started dancing when I was very young, and my alignment in my body was not good. And dancing in those days, we did on cement. And we also had all kinds of interesting positions and things that we did with technique. And that led to, by the time I was 16, not being able to really walk or jump on my knees very well. So I was not going to be a competitive dancer, and I couldn't be a professional dancer who was going to do a heavy schedule. So I became a teacher. And being a teacher, I was doing the best for my students and ignoring my body and not doing what my body really needed. But I also didn't know what that was, because we were never trained with that. We were just trained with how to get through what you needed to get through. And so when I got to the point where I couldn't walk anymore, then I had to really pay attention, because I had to teach from a bench. I couldn't walk across the floor. I was in pain every day. And I knew I was moving into depression, and it was just so challenging. And so I went to a workshop where Lynn Simonson, who is a fabulous modern dancer from New York, said the words, touch for health. And she also said, the gifts of your injuries. I thought she was crazy. I said, there are no gifts in these injuries, because I was hurting so bad. But and this was ahead of Google, so I couldn't just Google what is touch for health. And it took me a little while to track down someone. And I found someone who was actually close by and was also an instructor. And I started going to individual sessions, rebuilding my body. And that's been the journey. And since that time, I'm very passionate about moving correctly. And as an older adult now, and I'm not really in the dance world as much, I'm now also really passionate about how people are treating their bodies in front of their computers, when they're working with clients, when they're driving in their car, all the ways that we are freezing ourselves and how that's changing the way we think and we behave. And so I spend a lot of my day now helping people realize how to move better.
I love that. And so much there. And sorry, my brain just kind of went a tilt when you said that you were dancing on concrete as a child. And, you know, just that, not to say that the dance world is totally healthy now, because I know they're not, but there's different. It's so much farther along than it was. The dancers that I know and the studios that I know, they're very concerned about the long-term health of the dancers so that they have a life when they're finished with dance, or if they choose to continue, they can do so as well. I think there's also something really interesting in that as you were looking for a touch for health person, that they happen to be quite close to you, right? Like there's that piece of synchronicity there, that that person was waiting for you to show up and to work together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Mm. You had said as we were getting ready for this call, you know, this idea about posture. And I know myself, I sit at a desk far too much during a day. And I know you've got some great thoughts and some great guidance. So, you know, maybe we could talk a little bit about that.
That would be awesome. So what I would invite people to do, unless they're driving their car while they're listening to this podcast, is to take a moment. I just want you to grab onto your ears and pull them up. And as you pull them up, notice how your posture realigns itself with that pull. And you probably will notice that the chest will rise in the front. The ears will go back, so they're over top of the shoulders, hopefully. And sometimes they don't. And that your shoulders actually will drop. Mm. So just that piece tells you how much stress you have sitting in your body that's compressing you down, and where straight is supposed to be. And when we're working on the computer, we always, like, we focus in because it's the computer. Our hands are going to be on the keyboard, which also pulls our arms in and compresses on the pecs. And the pecs have to do with, so pectoralis, so in the inseam of the arm, that has to do with stomach, which leads to digestion, which leads to being able to balance emotions, and liver. And liver is where you deal with anger and resentment. So if you have that compacted all day long, you can see how the lens that you're going to be looking at things could shift because of how you're putting stress into the system. And so that little check of pulling on the ears shows you how much stress you've got and also where straight should be. And you should naturally go to that position. So if it becomes really difficult for you to stay there, so if you're listening to the podcast, you've adjusted your posture and you're thinking, oh, okay, that's fine. And then all of a sudden you collapse back into your posture that you typically have. That tells you how much stress is still overpowering and you naturally can't get to what straight is.
Mm.
And then that's where movement becomes really important to your day. And at your desk, there are so many things you could be doing. And in the car, there are so many things that you could be doing. Because a lot of people will be driving. Some people will be in traffic. And they'll have that same posture that they would have at their computer.
So a couple of questions and also a couple of comments. The first is, I did the exercise, pulled my ears, just as you had suggested, just like the listeners are doing if they're not driving. And I noticed that I definitely straightened up. And then what I noticed is that my desk is not set up to allow me to remain straight. I am certainly strong enough to remain this way. But at work, everything is more forward, as you said, and more like I have to reach forward to get to things instead of it being close so that I can maintain that posture. So that's something to consider as well. The ergonomics of your work setup, the ergonomics of just, I mean, maybe you're sitting at your dining room table on your computer. You know, is there something that you can do that way? And I think that there was something else that you said that was interesting. It's about the freeze. You said something about the freeze in the body, right? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Mm-hmm. So many of us are working long hours in one position. And if you get into a project, I'm sure you're the same, dive into your project And you actually don't take a break because you're so focused on what you're doing and you're frozen. But we don't think about that because our brain is so busy working. We think we're moving, but we're actually frozen. And that frozen body then puts stress into the system. So you'll hear about the polyvagal theory and about the vagus nerve and how that nerve, it wraps around every organ system. And if it's in stress because you're holding tight and you're frozen, maybe the neck is in the wrong position. The vagus nerve runs right through the neck. And so if you have it in the wrong position frozen, you can see how much of the body is then going to be impacted by the way that you're sitting and how you're holding yourself. So one of the things I love to do is on a Zoom call is no one can see my feet. So I have lots of exercises I can do with my feet. And I also have lots of things I can do with my hands and my arms while I'm on a call. And so I call it dynamic sitting because we can so easily get into the conversation and be intense in the conversation, but also there's another bit of time that's going to go by. And that's a good place where you're having a conversation. If you were somewhere else, if you were at a cafe or you decided to go for a walk and talk to your friend, you would be moving. So in that same vein, okay, I'm sitting in front of my computer, but how can I dynamically be sitting while I'm there? And then how can I be engaged? So for me, and people might call it, you know, ADHD, because when I'm sitting up I realize, oh, I'm in a conversation where I can actually move and I can hear and I can participate. And I start moving. And that would be like, oh, you know, they're fidgety. That's not that we're fidgety. It's that if I'm going to feed this brain and have it give the best answers, I want to be moving and I want everything open and clear. I want all the systems to not be in stress. And so then it becomes really important to find those little things you can do to, you know, take that stress out and be free.
That's super interesting. And I believe also on your YouTube channel, you have a video about this dynamic sitting, don't you, as well? I'll make sure to put that in the episode's notes too, because it's not just interesting, but it's important for your long-term health. And of course, coaches listen to this podcast, but there are so many people. You have students who are going to school, sitting, working on their term papers or studying for something. You've got office workers, remote office workers who are really in these stuck physical positions. And it is going to impact our health in the long term. I just found out a couple of days ago about this relatively recent study to do with walking. And even though I'm an active person and I go to the gym and I work out 3 to 4 times a week, they said that even with that, and I'm sure that you know about this, Michelle, but this was new to me, that if you're not doing a minimum of 8,000 steps, you're actually resistant to the benefits of the exercise that you're doing. And so to increase the amount of walking that you do, and so there we go again. I mean, we're sitting at a desk. You can do this dynamic sitting that I'll share the link for that, but also for us to be considering getting up and moving around as well, right? Mm-hmm. Do you ever take calls with not sitting at your desk and like just with a headset and moving around while you're on the call too?
With what I do, I'm a lot of times moving. So I haven't done that, and I don't like to actually have earphones in. So I really prefer my ears to be away from that frequency being directly in my ear. So I always try to be so that I can hear other ways.
Okay.
But what I would say about the walking is you can increase the amount of walking that you do, but if you don't change your posture and you don't have all the muscles firing correctly, you can be walking in incorrect postures. So then you can be stressing out certain systems just because of the way you hold yourself. So I just want to say that because a lot of people think walking is just walking, but it isn't. It's very, you want to be walking with a really, I don't want to say upright strained posture, but a natural posture. And when you walk, your arms should swing equally and they should swing wide. So if you're walking and they're down by your side, the alignment is not going to be correct because when it is correct, the shoulders automatically will swing. the legs also automatically swing forward and backward. But if you walk and you notice your hips swing side to side, or you move your weight from one side to the other side, then you also don't have your posture in the right spot and the muscles working correctly. So those are the little things that you can pay attention to as you're walking. So you start to notice, am I doing a good job with this? Or am I putting more stress into my body to get those steps in? It's not always about the steps. You want to walk with a really open, free-flowing body that allows the energy to really flow through.
Okay.
I know that's different than people thinking about.
It's interesting because as you're describing that, I'm thinking about, I was actually thinking not of walking, but of a little one, you know, a baby who's just learning to sit up, and thinking about how straight their spine usually is, right? And their weight is always actually a little bit further back than I am right now with being accustomed to sitting at my computer. So I was just kind of reflecting on the change of posture and the habit of posture that I've gotten into, and I'm sure many of the listeners have as well. There was earlier when you were talking about the pecs, and you're talking about how to have, when you're kind of closed in, focused in on the front, how it affects the different organs. And I think you said something about, and it also affects how you experience the emotion of anger, for example. And so where I'm curious about here is, as a coach, one of the things we do is to hold space. And we hold space for our clients to experience their emotions. And so there must be a place for posture in making it easier to create that space, and also to let the emotions not get all stuck in ourselves as well, right? Like, we don't get enmeshed in their emotions, but we provide the space for them to experience. Do you have any thoughts on that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because if you're listening to what they're saying and you're ready to respond with what they're going to need, if you have that stress sitting in your system, you're going to have a certain lens of emotions that you're going to be hearing and responding with. And so you may hear them say it one way, which might have been the intention they had, but your response could be different based on the stress you're holding in your own body. And I know people don't think about that because they just think, my mind will have the answer. It'll just be there for me. But you know that, you know, when you get hangry, right? You haven't had enough food, wasn't enough protein at lunch, and about 3 o'clock hits and you start to get a little bit antsy, but you also lose the energy. You snap at people. And it's like, I don't know why I snapped. You snapped because the systems were under stress and that was your response. So at 3 o'clock, you have a client and you're in that state and they say something and you go, you know what? In your mind, you're thinking, I've told them that like 5-6 times and they're still not hearing me. And your response then is like that, instead of, I hear what you're saying and have you thought about? And yep, whatever your response is going to be, like, completely different response, right?
Yeah.
So when we start to look at posture, we have what's going on for the person that's in front of us, and then we have what's going on for us. And if we're holding stress, they can pick up that stress. And if you're not fully where you want to be, you can take their stress and you can put it somewhere in your own body. So it's really important to have that flow coming through.
And we've got these, they have a conversation inside their head, and then the words or whatever they're saying, we've got our own conversation in our head, and then we're hearing what they're saying. So there's multiple conversations going on in what appears to just be two people talking, or one person listening and one person talking. So it all comes back to correct posture, aligned posture, to reduce the stress in your body, reduce the stress on your systems. And it just feels like that is really a precursor for overall health in many ways. So interesting.
And it's not that it needs to take a lot of time, and it's not hard. That's the other piece, because people think like their mind would when it thinks about getting a workout, in that I have to schedule it Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It happens between 12 and 1 because that's when I like to do my workout. And so that's when I'm going to put that posture piece in. But it isn't. It's about how are you engaged all day long with your body. When are you holding your breath? When do you have free flow of your breath? When do you notice you start to lose that concentration? What do you do about it? And just tiny little activities can just bring everything back and reboot it. And it doesn't take more than sometimes 30 seconds, sometimes 2 minutes. For me, if I do a Tai Chi set before I start my day, and I know what my intention is of the quality of kind of day I want to have, I finish that Tai Chi set, everything lines up. I finish things really quickly. I sit down at my desk and I go, okay, let me look at my emails and see what I've got to deal with today. And then I go, okay, well, I'm not going to have breakfast right now because I'm going to respond to all these pieces. And then I dive into my day. It's going to take me longer because I didn't set myself up for having that openness to happen. And also the universe, as it delivers lovely presents, you know, things come to you that you were looking for and you think, oh, I've got to go and find that person or remember to send that email. And all of a sudden they send an email. You know, they were thinking about you and boom, it's in your inbox. Those things line up when the flow is there. When you're working from that place of push, that doesn't happen. And so it's nice to remember, I take the time, there's always the benefits on the other side.
And even more than the benefits, actually, because I think when it lines up, it's closer to the right thing at the right time instead of the pushed thing. And that is something that I'm forever learning over and over. It's one of my lessons in this life to not be pushing. So we talked about awareness and intention. And so where does somebody begin when they're thinking, oh, okay, well, this Michelle Selt shared some really interesting stuff. I understand about my ears. I can feel that. But now to be hold a more continual intention to be aware. Any tips for how they can start with that?
I'm thinking two things that most people can really have a quick benefit. So the first one would be if after you've, you know, pulled yourself into that posture, you probably noticed your breath went deeper because you've lifted the chest and not lifted the chest, like throw the shoulders back, like they used to say for posture. But just the fact that all of a sudden the chest lifts and that opens the lungs. But if you take a breath at the moment and just notice what it feels like and just see how much capacity you have. Okay. And then if you tap with one hand from the shoulder to the palm of the other hand, so you're going to tap fairly firmly down the arm, 3 times down, and you're just going down. That's the direction of lung. Okay. And the other side, you're going to go down as well. So we're going from the shoulder down to the thumb, basically. Plus the extras. There's other pieces in there. All right. And now if you take another breath in, notice what
happens. That made a big difference. Yeah. I can feel that. Yeah.
You see how easy that was?
Yes. Yeah. And the breath
probably
is easy,
your hands
too.
Are kind of doing a little vibration.
Yes.
Yeah,
for sure.
Because they're a little bit more awake. The chi's flowing. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Okay. So that would be one. So the other one would be if you've pulled on the ears and you're sitting up straight, then turn and see how far you can see with your neck. And just notice what it also feels like. And this is a great way to gauge through the day when the stress gets to be more, because you'll notice the neck is going to have less and less ability to move. Okay. So what we're going to do is roll the ears. So we're just going to go from the top of the ear. We're going to unroll the outer edge of the ear all the way around the side to the bottom. And then go back and repeat, but just put your fingers just a little bit closer into the ear and pull down. And if you think about what time it is for you, your body clock might be a little bit off. It'll bring your body clock onto a line as well. So we'll just do the other side. And this is a great one. I use it a lot through the day.
I can feel the change just doing that.
The ears are going to heat up. They'll go nice bright red. You've woken up every system in the body with that. But when you go to turn your head now, notice what happens.
Oh, wow.
So as we talked about the vagus nerve, we actually just calmed it.
Uh-huh.
Really simple. Now, can you do that on a Zoom call?
Yeah. Oh, sure. like in a heartbeat, right?
And nobody's really going to notice what you're doing. It's like, oh yeah, she's touching your ear. That's it. Yeah. But all of a sudden that can open everything up. You got a little bit more freedom in the neck. And now what you can see is a much bigger possibility. Your perspective changes. Mm-hmm. And then you also have how that nerve is going to relax, and it's going to relax into all the organ systems. It's going to be really beneficial.
And you're going to be breathing better, which means that you're more connected with, you're having better thoughts, a little less triggered if there's something triggering going on as well. Just an overall great thing.
Awesome. And the lungs are grief, guilt, and regret. So when we're taking very shallow breaths, it's very easy to feel guilty that you didn't do something, you weren't good enough, self-worth isn't there. All kinds of things can run through your head. You get deep breaths happening, that disappears. You're too busy taking that deep breath. The body's going, what's next? What's next? And it's not thinking about how to judge you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're looking for possibility instead of inner criticism, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. We've talked for 20 minutes and we've covered so much stuff. Gosh. So for those of you who are listening, rewind and do these things with Michelle as she's describing them. As she was doing them, I'm doing them. And I would encourage you to do the same thing, because I want you to feel this. And I want you to feel how it could change your life. She's a real gift and has a real gift of explaining these things that seem so easy and so simple, right? But it can really make a difference for all of us. And you could turn around and teach your clients this too, and think of how amazing that would be for more people to be able to breathe deeper, have better posture, be more in tune with who they are, reduce their stress. Simply amazing. Wow. Michelle, before we wrap up, any last words? Is there anything that has just occurred to you that you're like, oh, I should say that?
Well, I'm thinking about Touch for Health. And so people probably are wondering, what is that? And it is a system that was brought from the chiropractors to the layperson. And it's an opportunity to do these simple little exercises. You can go more in depth and start to learn deeper of some of the things I've talked about. But the basic part about it is it self-empowers you. And so I would invite people, I know you had asked me about what free gift would I have for people. So for my own free gift on my website, which is greenwellcenter.com, C-E-N-T-E-R, that has the top 8 stress releasers on it. So you're going to see the ear rubs in there, and lots of great tips. But I would also recommend the organization that I'm president of is called the Canadian Association of Bioenergetic Wellness. And it's known as canbewell.org. But if you go to the main page of that, there's a free ebook there. And so people can download that book. I'm one of the authors. There was 4 of us that took Touch for Health material and put it into a really easy way for you to engage with it. And that might be another way to bring some more tools to you. So you've got two ways that you could do that. And I hadn't thought of that till you asked me that question. So
great. So I'll make sure to put those links in the episode notes. So everybody just go ahead, download those things, sign up, and make use of this really important information. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a real pleasure, and I'm so glad we got a chance to connect. And I learned so much on this call. Thank you.
You'll be sitting taller. Thank you, Candy, for having me. And I so appreciate being able to share some of these ideas that I see in all these meetings, and that I see with the way people struggle with just daily stuff. I so appreciate being able to talk about it. So thank you.
No, thanks. Thanks again for listening today. Please hop on over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. Also, I would love to hear from you. Did something that I say resonate? What else would you like to learn about? Click the link in the player and leave a comment on the post. This is going to give me great ideas for future episodes so I can help you best. Join me again next week for more coaching, support, and teaching to help you become the confident coach you are meant to be.